Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Brews. I'm joined by a frequent guest, Kat Champa. Kat,
hey,
welcome
guys.
Back. And Mike, I think this is your first time back on since the EDM 101 episode,
right? That's right.
Welcome back, man.
Good to be here.
The reason the three of us are on an episode today is we are fresh off of a Oktoberfest trip. It was all of our first time going to Munich, Germany for...
For Oktoberfest, but Mike's been to Munich before.
Right. But all of our first time going to the Oktoberfest festival.
Yes.
So we're going to do this episode a little bit differently today. Normally, the beer aspect kind of takes a little bit of a backseat to the music aspect of the show. We're going to kind of flip the script on that this week. We are going to talk about three to five favorite highlights, beer-related highlights from the trip, in place of doing a playlist. We'll have some background music based on songs that we all associate with the trip for one reason or another, whether it was playing in the background when we did day trips, or maybe we could talk about some of the stories as the songs come up throughout the episode. Well, let's talk about what we're drinking. What did you bring for your BYOB, Mike?
Yeah, so I've got Weinschöpfer Vitis, which is something we had in Germany and something we've had here plenty of times.
Right.
It's just so good. Weizenbach, it's probably my favorite German beer, honestly, overall. So
you're not alone in that. The only reason I'm not drinking it right now is because I knew you were drinking it. And I want to get some variety on there, but it's probably my favorite. One of my favorite beers of all time, and I'm pretty sure I've told this story on the show before, but the first time I tried it was at some little bar in Rome when Kat and I were there last year, and I had always loved their Hef and tried the Vitis for the first time and just felt like it was a better, stronger version of their Hef, and I already thought their Hef was a perfect version of what it was. So yeah, it's one of the most delicious beers in the world. If you get a chance to try Vitis, do it. And that's all I'll say about it for now, because Weinschöpfer may or may not be one of the highlights I bring up in a little bit. Kat, we've got a couple of different things we'll cycle through, but tell people what the first beer we're drinking.
I have Hacker Shores Original Oktoberfest Amber Marzen. I love a good red, and the Hacker Shore day was interesting. And I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, let's crack these open and we'll get into those highlights.
Yeah.
One quick thing by way of kind of logistics here. We are going to do our formal drinking game segment at the end, but we're going to have a little ongoing drinking game throughout the show. Like I said, I'm going to put on a little playlist. Sprinkled throughout that playlist is a song called Ein Prosit. Mike, do you want to... What is Ein Prosit? What are they saying and what does it mean?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Ein Prosit means a toast, basically, or a cheers, that kind of thing. And there's another line in there which basically means to great times and health, kind of thing. Like, everyone have a good time.
Got it.
So,
and why? What does it have? Why do I have it on this playlist, and what's the purpose?
So in every tent, at Oktoberfest, about every 15 to 20 minutes, the band that is playing would always start playing Ein Prosit just to keep everyone drinking, basically. So,
and here's what that song sounds like. And it's just a quick little 20, 30 second refrain, and everyone does a toast at the end of it, and then they carry on. The band carries on with whatever song they have going on next.
Mm-hmm. This... tune was stuck in my head for a very long time, and I have incorporated it into just everyday singing.
We didn't know what the lyrics were for the longest time, so anytime we were singing along, we were just like, a German song. And I'm sure everyone who heard us hated that, but we had fun with it. And
yeah.
I wanted to tell that story specifically because our drinking game today is going to be called German Songs.
All right.
Mike, I'll have you do your first highlight in a second. But first, I'll just call out why Seven Nation Army is on this playlist, which is supposedly this is a big soccer thing. that people will chant the main instrumental line from this.
Mm-hmm.
And people did it all the time in the tents. Just there'd be like you would have a wave breakout at a baseball game in America. People would just break out into this chant.
Yeah, and the main team from Bavaria was like doing really well while we were there, and won a few songs. Won a few games. So even there would be times where we were just walking through like the downtown plaza and people would be outside bars chanting the song.
All right, Mike, hit us with your first one.
Yeah. So I'll jump right into the fest. Can we talk about the Augustiner tent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like
that was an experience. Not our first time at the tent, but it was completely different. Like,
is that the one that we went to late night?
Yeah.
That was insane.
That was the sloppiest drinking event I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, college included.
I'm trying to give listeners a sense of scale. Like, how big would you say these tents are?
I think all of them were like 6,000 to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And this place was packed.
And it's just like picnic tables, basically wall to wall picnic tables full of drunk people. In Lederhosen. Maybe we'll put up some pictures of it at some point. This is another project of my many projects that I say I'm going to do. I keep saying I'm going to do a travel blog. And that's why I don't post my pictures from these trips that I do, because I'm like, oh, well, one day I'll just use them all for the travel blog that I'm never going to do. But anyway, so these massive, massive tents, and depending on what time of day you go, obviously the crowd is at different levels of debauchery and drunkenness, and we just decided on a whim on a day that we weren't originally going to go to any of the tents to show up kind of late at night. Wasn't it like 9 p.m., something like that?
Even like 7:30.
7:30, okay. Yeah. We were there for a few hours.
But people were really sloppy.
Oh, yeah.
Falling off tables, like standing up. People are standing up like throughout the day, but they are never closer to falling down than they are.
Oh yeah,
and from 7:30 onward.
And these benches are not secured to anything, so there's a lot of seesawing happening where someone would jump off the end of a bench and then send the other person on the other end flying, or they'd fall off, or like try to jump on a bench and run down it. I got a bench to the back that didn't feel great.
It doesn't sound great.
I also was seesawed, glued off the bench by Tim at one point.
Was that the night your ass got grabbed too?
Yes. Yeah, I got my ass grabbed in that tent. It felt, just looking around,
but
like...
Mike and I have managed to stay friends.
Yeah. No, it was a random stranger. It felt like a National Lampoon movie almost, like kind of like Beer Fest. You just look around and everybody from all different parts of the world is just hammered, cheering. Beer is like sloshing out of the mugs.
Singing Seven Nation Army.
Singing Seven Nation Army and just like making out sloppily, falling asleep. Like it was all different forms of...
Yeah,
drunk.
All kinds of sloppy.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk about the couple that was like full on making out, almost having sex like in the middle of the floor?
Yeah, but it was weird too, because like their mouths were open, so you could tell that they were kissing, but they weren't actually kissing. Their mouths were just open on top of each other, and I was like, are you asleep? Do you not know how to kiss? What's happening?
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, what did you have specific things to say about it, Mike?
I just, besides everyone standing on the tables, I mean, that was just insane to me. Like, you couldn't see anything unless you were also standing up, which, of course, we did. We had to get a view of this. I do love that even with all this craziness going on, the band didn't slow down at all. Neither did the servers. They were like, okay, this is just another...
They
literally
were
just another
surprisingly
Tuesday.
Tolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like, all right, let's keep this rolling basically until midnight. And then they were like, get the hell out.
Yeah.
I'll address briefly. This song, What's Up by Four Non Blondes, is on here because maybe more than once, but I think maybe just once, it was like a big tent-wide sing-along to this song. again, like 10,000 people singing this song all at once. No band, just like singing along.
Yeah.
It's like Hey Jude. Like everyone knows everyone can sing Na Na Na.
Yeah. Except it fades out really quickly when like a very international audience gets to the verses and are like, I don't know what happens now. That was some of the best beer, I thought, too.
At the Augustiner tent. Yeah. What, I guess it was Augustiner beer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Their fest beer.
That's right. That was interesting. Every tent, they only served a fest beer.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get a Hef. You couldn't get their Helles Lager. It was all just a specific Oktoberfest beer, which was kind of cool, but also a little disappointing when you find out.
Yeah. Especially because the catalyst, I think, for you and I both a little bit was we love German beers and especially German Weiss beers. And so I had dreamed of like going to Oktoberfest and just crushing Weiss beers all day long. In the first tent we went to, the guy came over and we were like, can we have a Hefeweizen? And the guy was like, what? Because we learned this while we were over there. They don't say Hefeweizen in Bavaria. They say Weiss beer. And then he was like, no, only fest beer. So it's only like the Oktoberfest style, like Marzen beers, which are good, but definitely not in the same tier for me as like a great Weiss beer. So, but still, there's something fun about that too, that it's just, they've got it so efficient because they only have one beer and it's just, they come to your table of, again, you're serving 10,000 people and you're going, you need five beers and that's all you need to do. It's not like taking an order of like, oh, this person wants this person wants this.
It is very efficient in that way. And it's cash only in the tents too. So you don't have to wait to like settle up a tab because they make you pay for each round as you go in cash. So just like every transaction is clear and efficient.
I don't think it was that tent, but one of the days I lost my wallet and I thought that Katrina was going to divorce me.
Yeah.
I got really, really drunk. It was like the first day we went to the tents and I got super, super hammered. Because we all crushed like 3 liters of beer in an hour and a half, maybe. Mm. And we're just not in good shape. And I lost my wallet. And
you
then,
did lose your wallet in the Augustiner tent, but we didn't go there. That like we walked in it, but didn't hang out there that day.
We did a lap,
and then we went to the lost and found, and they just gave it back to me with all my cash in there, like nothing taken. It was the craziest thing. I thought for sure it was gone forever.
Me too.
I've read that they do like reporting on their lost and found after the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's probably thousands of wallets, right? But I remember reading last year's and it was like, X thousand wallets and so many passports and 2 wheelchairs or something like that.
Ooh,
I was like, I don't know how you could lose that.
A wheelchair, yeah. I was reading a dog was declared 1 year too.
A dog,
Sudsy, he was the dachshund. He had on like a little collar and stuff, so I hope he got returned to his family. I don't know, but
I love that the instinct with a lost dog is to bring it to the lost and found, not like a animal shelter or anything like that. Just here in case someone loses their wallet or dog.
Huh?
Oh,
cheers, guys.
Here it is. Yep. Cheers.
I'm pros it a German song. Does that about cover it for Augustiner? I guess the last thing to say about it is like the first time we were like, oh shit, this is what Oktoberfest can be.
Yeah.
That was when it hit. I don't think there was a point after that where we thought, oh no, this is the next level. Augustiner really hit it. And for a Tuesday night or whatever it was, like,
yeah, that was insane.
Kat, what's your first highlight?
I think my first highlight is from our first day in the tents when we were in the Pauliner tent, and we got to see our first tabletop leader crush. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was really fun. So there's tradition. If you are standing on the table, the full leader, you got to chug it. And if you finish the whole thing, everyone will cheer for you and clap. And if you don't finish it, everyone will boo and throw things at you.
As they should, yeah. And as is tradition.
So we saw this one guy stand up on the table, and it was the first one of the whole trip. First one of the day. It was maybe like noon on a Sunday. He crushed it, no problem. Everyone cheered and was like cheering him on as he was going. It was awesome. Like, beer was pouring down his shirt the whole time. And then that kind of set off a chain reaction of other people getting up and standing on the tables. And the guy that stood up right after him failed, and people like threw their napkins and stuff at him. And then we did see a few women do it, which was really cool. They just like got up and chugged. They did it at a little slower pace than some of the men, but they still were able to clear it. So it's just a fun thing to like be there for.
Sure. I loved watching people fail miserably and like yeah. The whole audience just like boos and like, or dies laughing. Like, cause if it's a totally epic fail, then it like some people would take, I think it was at was it Hofbrau House?
At the beer garden.
Yeah. Where someone just took two sips and then couldn't chug anymore, and it was like, boo.
But he kept standing on the table and then kept took doing another it in
like,
two
yeah,
sips.
Yeah, he was doing it in like intervals, and you're like, nah,
it,
dude.
It would take 2 minutes or something. We're like, all right, just wrap it up.
There was one girl in the Augustiner tent that had like half a liter, so it wasn't even a full liter, and she stood up and took like three sips out of it and then was like, done. Like, don't bother.
Yeah, that's a good one. I guess I'll do my first one. And one of the huge reasons that I wanted to go was, as I said, I have been really into the Von Stefan Brewery for years. Love their... Hef is probably their flagship. It's got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most delicious beers in the world, if you've never tried it, especially if you like wheat beers. I don't know what you're doing with your life if you haven't tried Von Stefan. But also their Dunkelweiss is really good. Their Vitus we talked about already is delicious. Their Doppelbock is as desserty as any Doppelbock is, but it's up there with some of the best Doppelbocks as well. So we ended up going to the brewery, which is just outside of Munich. And one of the things I didn't really know until we got there is that in order to serve your beer at the fest, it has to be brewed within the city limits.
Right.
And Von Stefan is not. And a lot of the other classic Bavarian breweries are also not in the city limits. So they don't serve at Oktoberfest. The breweries like Andex and Schneiderweiss and
Einger
yeah. And Von Stefan. So we did a little bit of a day trip, went like 45 minutes outside the city to go to Von Stefan. They have like a beer hall. They serve, you know, traditional German food, Spätzle, Wiener Schnitzel, pork knuckle, all that kind of stuff. And it was delicious food, number one, but I think that's the most variety of beer that I got to try the whole time we were there.
Yeah.
And I did their Dunkel, their Dunkelweiss, their Vitus, the Crystal. And the cool part is there were five of us there, so we were all kind of mixing and matching and trying each other's beers. By the end of it, we tried pretty much everything they had on offer. So that was just a really cool experience. And it was kind of like one of the things on my Munich bucket list is like, I know I have to do this while I'm there. If I don't do it, I'll be super frustrated. And so it was a great high point of the trip for me.
Yeah. And that was some of the best food of the trip for me.
Yeah.
I think
that was definitely the best meal we got out. And it was also the only place in the entire city or outside the city where I saw the word flight on a menu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as a beer flight anywhere else in Munich. It's just get a half liter of whatever you want, you know.
But although when we said, can we have a flight, they said no.
That's true. Yeah, they
did. Which leads me to the customer service there in general. And I would hate to shit on them in any way because of how much I love their beer. But we made a reservation for dinner. one of the days that we were there, like the day before, and we made that reservation online. They emailed Mike and basically said, hey, just so you know, this reservation doesn't mean anything. Like an automated email that was like, we'll reach out to you and let you know if you truly have the reservation, basically. So the next day we're out and about and we're like, we kind of really hope we go to Von Stefan tonight. Maybe maybe we should call him just to see what the deal is. And I called a guy around lunchtime.
And that day also happened to be German Unity Day, which was a national holiday.
It was a national holiday, but the guy I talked to was like in a super bad mood, super grumpy and aggressive, and was like, "No, you don't have a reservation. It's too busy today. You definitely won't get a table." And I was like, "Okay, fine. Like, can we talk about like another time this week when it would work for us to come? Like, book a reservation that way." And he was like, "Call me back in an hour." And I was like, I guess. So eventually I call him back and he's so much nicer this time. And I'm like, "All right, yeah, I was calling back to see like when else we might be able to come." And he's like, "Oh, you have a reservation for tonight at 5, right?" And I was like, "Not according to you." And he was like, "Yeah, no, we can make it work." So it was just such a weird like customer service.
No thanks.
Hello, customer service. A weird customer service experience, but it all worked out, and it ended up being a great highlight of the trip.
Yeah, and just to so Hallelujah was playing in the background there, and when we were in the Augustiner tent, at one point there was just a chant of Augustiner to the tune of Hallelujah.
Oh yeah. Augustiner. And now Led Zeppelin is on because we did a couple of day trips and it was either EDM or classic rock playing. So Led Zeppelin in honor of that. Not the EDM, but the classic rock.
And we talked about the great, great P. Diddy borrow of this tune, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the excellent movie it was featured in, Godzilla. 1998 Godzilla?
Yep.
All right, Mike, what's next for you?
Yeah, so I'll bring up another tent, the Ochsenbrau tent. I thought that was a really, really cool place.
Yeah.
So Ochsenbrau literally means ox brew. And this is a place where they actually turn oxes on spits and will serve them to you if you order it. Like, not a whole ox, obviously, but... you can just order ox cheek or whatever it was. I think they serve Spaten, right? That was the beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Honestly, like thinking back on it, I can't really... It's hard for me to distinguish the beers and be like, I liked this one the least or this one the most. Augustiner stands out as like a strong one, but otherwise I couldn't really like rank them.
Yeah. Actually, Spaten I thought was my least favorite, which is weird. I thought I always liked it, but after basically having every Fest beer all in a row, I just thought it was the one that didn't fit in the most, or I guess the least weedy tasting, that kind of thing. So,
That was a really cool experience, and I'm glad we did it too, because at first I was like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what the deal is, and then we Googled it and it basically said you'll walk in and it's just a bunch of oxen on spits, and that's exactly what it was, and they just bring the meat out to you and it's really delicious.
And I loved the front of that tent too. It was almost kind of like a cuckoo clock. They had a mechanical man and a mechanical woman in their Fest gear turning an ox on the spit. So I thought that was just like a fun ornament for the front of the tent.
That's just a cool thing in general, is that every tent has its shtick, basically. Yeah. Mm. There's a fish tent, an ox tent, then a bunch of different, obviously, beer-specific tents. And then there's one that has, like, I don't know what you call it. It's the one we couldn't get into in the last day, where the ceiling looks like the sky, basically.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the hacker one. Yeah. It was painted to look like the sky.
So just some really cool gimmicks that make all the tents worth visiting.
I loved the lion on the Löwenbräu tent. That was outside. It was a big mechanical lion, and it would be like, raw, and then like move a beer towards its face, but it's like an old lion, so it would get like halfway and make it look like it was drinking it, and then slowly put the arm back down.
You got anything else to say on the ox tent?
Well, I did like how... I think we were at a crazier tent beforehand. We went to the Ochsenbrau one and thought, let's get some lunch. And it felt like everyone in the tent also had the same idea.
Yeah.
Like, it was a way more chilled out tent. Just a bunch of families kind of eating lunch.
There to
and it
eat,
was like a,
yeah.
it was like a almost like a pit stop, but it was still like an 8,000 person tent, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. fun spot to be.
Yeah. What tent did we start the day at that day? Because that was our full fest day.
I think we might have started at, it was one of the ones that we were like, oh, we got to make sure we hit that one. But it wasn't Augustiner because we had been there like a couple nights before.
We had done Paulina already.
Right. We'd done Hofbräu.
Yeah.
This is fun for listeners.
We're all just sitting here doing that classic, like looking up, trying to remember.
But a much rowdier tent for sure than the Ox tent.
Yeah, definitely.
But nothing. Remember. Oh, God.
I was just saying, I don't remember which one that was.
It was a really, it was cool that it was almost a different purpose than the other tents you'd go to. There were tents that you're like, I'm going there for the music and to just drink so much beer. And other ones where you're like, they advertise that they are food tents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You still can drink the same kind of beer, but it's just a little bit of a different experience and you can give yourself a break. We haven't talked about this yet either, but it's also not just the beer tents. There's a ton of other stuff there, like just like you'd have at a carnival in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And like rides and food stands and haunted houses and all that kind of stuff. So there's plenty to do if you're like, A, I'm too drunk, which definitely was me a couple of times, and I need to distract myself or just be active.
Yeah. Or if you're like a family or you're not old enough to drink yet.
Yeah. Or you just need a break from all day,
with your kids.
A day long debauchery, or just a day-long bender. Yeah.
Although we decided to do a full fest day one day. It started at the tents early, stayed there for lunch, decided to stay for dinner. We just got like food at the food stalls. And then we were all drunk and decided to do rides at the end of the night. And that was pretty fun.
Is this your highlight now?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right. Because outside of the tents, too, there were, like, schnapp, stalls. So we were, like, we're integrating shots in, which was kind of nice to get a mix-up from the beer a little bit. So we were all, like, gaining liquid courage and just running around the fair being like, all right, let's go on that roller coaster now. And then let's go on that Ferris wheel. And Mike and Alec went on this super tall, like, death drop ride.
Oh, yeah, where it just flings you up and then kind of slowly drops you down or whatever. Yeah.
And so Kat did a roller coaster, which if you know Kat, you know she doesn't like roller coasters.
Right.
So we're all very proud of her for that.
She
screamed the whole time.
I did scream. And I don't do like one long scream. It's like a series of short bursts of screams. So it'll be like, and there was a couple sitting behind us that when the roller coaster was over, I heard the guy go, wah, wah, wah. And then the girl started cracking up and I was like, I'm right here. Like, wait until I can't hear you.
I love that couple.
And then the fifth member on the trip, Jaren, we convinced him to go into a fun house. And he had to wear these like 3D glasses. So it's like kind of distorted everything in front of him. And then there was this one long tunnel at the end of the fun house that rotated. It was like a rotating tube and you had to walk through it. And we were like, if you can make it through there in one go, we'll buy you a beer. And then he immediately fell and like could not stand up and just was like tumbling
there
through
was
the
no
thing.
Chance.
Yeah. And just like crawled out and stood up triumphant getting through the tunnel. But that day was just really fun because it was our full fest day and like we managed to pace ourselves really well. We were in our fest gear, so we like got to make the most of it. And it's just like the weather was great. So it was like the most ideal of all the elements for a fest day coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember one of the things, we did a ton of stuff while we were there.
Yeah, we did
a lot of day trips and we kind of broke up our festival days. And I think because we went so hard the first day we went to the festival, we took a couple of days off from it. And I started to get anxiety about like, are we going to go back? Cause that's like kind of why I'm here.
Right.
And so I just felt like it was such a triumphant return to the tents. Cause we finally, I paced myself enough to make it all the way through the day without like getting sick or like burning out. And it just was a super fun, like perfect festival day.
Right. And we didn't mention this before, but we did get lederhosen and a dirndl.
Yep.
We did dress appropriately for our full fest day.
Yeah, that was
and
really
one
fun.
After that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll take us into my next highlight, which was drinking Weiss beers at the top of at the Eagle's Nest.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool view.
Yep.
So if you don't know what the Eagle's Nest is, it's basically a mountain or a resort at the top of a mountain on the border of Austria, but still in Bavaria, where Hitler used to go for, I don't know, planning sessions or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just breathtaking views. Like everywhere you look, it's basically a postcard. There's kind of an ordeal and an experience getting up there. They take you in these buses that are designed specifically for this path, this very narrow mountain path that you like kind of look outside the window and it's immediately a drop off of a mountain and really scary. But then you get to the top and there's a restaurant and bar up there. So we all just got beers and you're just enjoying some of the most delicious beer in the world with unbeatable views. And I don't know, it was just such a cool experience.
That was the best looking beer I've ever drank.
Yeah.
With just the sun coming through it and the mountain in the background. I mean, you can't beat that.
I took a picture specifically of the view with my beer in view. And I was like, this is for the travel blog.
Yeah. Well, we should definitely post those.
Yeah. Because who am I kidding? I'm never going to do that travel blog as good as the name is.
Yeah.
Which is?
Beer there and everywhere.
This is a pretty clever name. You're great at many things, but one of the things you are most great at or greatest at is branding.
Well, puns. And puns, if puns were marketing, I would be in the wrong profession.
You are Chandler Bing.
That's true. I guess I don't really have too much more to say about that, except Mike and a couple of the other guys we were with did a hike at the bottom of that Eagle's Nest Mountain after we went up to the top. And meanwhile, Kat and I just went to a beer garden on a little lake at the bottom of the mountain and had some beers. And that was also a really nice experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I know we only ran into you when we picked you up, basically, but you guys were sitting at a table 1 foot away from a nice lake, just sipping some beers. I was like, we need to sit down and continue this.
Yeah.
The only thing is that it was a little cold.
Yeah.
And I think people were kind of like, let's get in the car and put some heat on.
But that view was really nice. And it was just a very relaxing and serene. There was a little boat that was going around the water and there were ducks and you could see the mountain still. It was really picturesque.
All right, Mike, what's next?
Yeah. So this is probably a short discussion, but one of the things I really liked the most is, we spent one day kind of exploring the center of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Away from the fest, we were just kind of looking at old buildings and church towers and eating cake and all that. And there was a moment at 5 p.m. when we were waiting for the cuckoo clock in the city center to open up, and it did, and it just kind of went on, and it wasn't all that exciting. It was overhyped, I think. But a great part that came out of it was just the Bavaria football fans just chanting, slamming their leaders down in this open air restaurant in front of us, like completely overshadowing anything that was going on. They're basically just
like fucking tourists.
That was definitely the driver, but at the same time I was like, I'm so happy to be a tourist right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was cool too because it was just a funny juxtaposition, because the motions on the cuckoo clock, there were two layers to it. The top layer had these like horses coming around just very slowly, and it was like a circle of horses, and then the second layer was these just like twirling dancers, and they were moving very slow, and they went like 10 rotations each time. So you have this very like slow, classic, like fairy tale-esque cuckoo clock motions going on with the Bavarian football chanting and beer slamming in the background. So it was a great
It was such a lackluster cuckoo clock. We all had our phones out like we got to get this on video. And then it was like, oh my God.
I was like, I've been recording this for 3 minutes, which is 2.5 minutes too long.
That was a cool day though. Because yeah. We got to, we certainly did a good amount of day drinking, but also got to see a lot of the city, which is just a beautiful kind of medieval city. And then ate a ton of great food.
Yeah.
Cakes and then Doner kebabs for like kebab. The 30th yeah. time.
The official food of the trip. Those were delicious.
We bumped into some mass holes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's mass holes, not assholes. Well...
Same thing.
But it was like, dude, there's a fucking cake. That's a lot of cakes, dude.
Yeah.
Like that was something that someone said to us and we knew they were from Boston instantly.
Yeah.
Do we think that was the same group that we ran into later on that afternoon in the, there was an Augustiner like kind of dungeony looking bar that we went into and there was also a group from Boston sitting at the bar.
I think it could have been.
Probably it was, yeah.
It was that same area, so how many people from Boston could there be? It's Ein Prosit.
I think so, yeah. Yep.
Yep. I don't have a drink. Oh, God.
Failing us, Champa.
You have 20 seconds here.
It's pouring it in the glass and everything.
Cheers.
Prost.
It's a very straightforward song, right?
Yep.
A toast. Ends with 1, 2, 3, drink.
Like I said, we listened to a lot of EDM on the ride.
Specifically
Eric Prydz, who I had never been exposed to before, but this is one of his songs.
What I was going to say...
Who's up right now?
I think it's me.
Yeah, I think it is you.
Next moment. I think maybe just that first night when we went on our journey to get a lay of the land of the city and went in search of a beer garden and had to go through several closed ones before we ended up eating Meat Fest at that outdoor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. We just kind of stumbled across it, I think.
Yeah.
Just like a classic looking German beer hall.
Yep. Well, we stopped at a bar, right?
Yep.
And the bartender there showed a lot of mercy on us and was like, if you want to go to a nice place.
That was her recommendation?
That was her recommendation. Huh. Yep. She said, go to this place exactly. And we went there and it was not a tourist trap. It was Meat Fest.
Yeah.
It was just Meat Fest. It was like they brought out
a boat. Like I met one of those like sushi boats, but just full of meat.
Yeah, it was like pork knuckle, and I forget what else was even in there.
Duck
and pork loin, I think, and meatballs and
those dumplings.
Yeah, so a lot of food.
Probably three more meats that we're not even remembering.
Yeah, and like I think sauerkraut or red cabbage or something underneath all the meat, soaking up the meat juices.
Yeah, Meat Fest. Honestly was like not great. Compared to the other food that we had on the trip, but it was like what we wanted at the time. We'd all just gotten off of like super long travel days and just wanted to sink our teeth into Munich. So that was a great introduction because we got to drink liters of beer and just eat a bunch of meat, but also we just needed that nourishment. And that it was a great first like bonding experience because not all of us knew each other yet.
Right.
And
we tackled a mountain of meat together.
Meat Fest could be its own its own highlight, but I like that.
Yeah, so I think that first night was just fun. We were getting to know each other, getting to know the city, getting in our first liters. This was a good kickoff.
I think for me, I'm trying to think what my next one. Oh, yeah. Hofbrauhaus.
That was fun. That was a lot
of fun. A cool experience. One of the nights, I don't remember what day it was, but there's a pretty classic German beer hall in Munich. I want to say it's hundreds of years old, right?
Yeah.
And it felt like Oktoberfest, not at Oktoberfest. And so you just go there and it's people in Lederhosen, everybody's crushing liters of beer, everybody's singing songs, and it's just this giant complex. You did a pretty good job of describing it the other day, Kat.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's a big square, and it's four stories, and each story has like indoor benches, but then the inside of the square is kind of hollowed out, and there's an outdoor beer garden in the middle of the hall, which is cool. So you walk through the hall, so you get the experience of the interior of what that is like, and then you go into the beer garden, and it's really cool because there's like big trees, and you have the rest of the beer garden or the beer hall around you, so you get the lights and the noise and everything from inside, but you have the fresh air and the feeling of being outside. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And there was an American family sharing our table with us, and the mom was hilarious.
It's cool to see and meet people there, and just from all different walks of life and all different countries, and you're all there for beer. Like, it sounds cheesy, but that's like what brings, it's like the one common interest that you have there with everybody is you're all at like the mecca of beer.
Yeah. The family sitting next to us, so it was a mother, a father, two like college age daughters, and then they were all talking about how they were roasting the son who was at home that couldn't come because he had to work. So they were like all sending him pictures of their beers and stuff.
Brutal.
Yeah. And the women for Oktoberfest will wear dirndls, which is the traditional dress with the apron. And I didn't know this until we got there and I bought mine, but when you tie your apron
up,
Prost break.
Prost.
So when you tie your apron, you're supposed to tie your bow in a very specific way depending on your relationship status. So to the right side is how you would tie it if you were married, and to the left side is how you would tie it if you were single. If you're a widow or a waitress, you would tie it to the back, and if you are a virgin or a child, it would be tied.
Or either a virgin or a child.
I mean, they're not mutually exclusive, but it would be in the center.
Or as one tour guide we overheard described it, if you tie it to your left, that means you're married.
No,
I'm sorry.
Right,
that
you're married.
Left, that means you're single and every guy will hit on you. If you tie it to your right, that means you're married and every guy will still hit on you.
And when I was buying my dirndl, the woman was telling me how to tie it. And she's like, but after a few beers or a few liters, the bow can sometimes go from right to left. And I was like, okay.
And I was like, bitch, I'm right here.
So we were talking about the bow placement with the family sitting next to us, and the mom was like, and you girls better have yours in the center, right? And they were like, mom, they were super embarrassed, and she was just like, and took a drink of her liter, and she was like, must be a weird day though if your bow is in one place and then you like go behind a tent for a few minutes and you come back and your bow is in a different spot. And she's like, girls, don't go behind any tents.
That mom was humiliating. You could just see on the girls. It was like we were having like a nice conversation with this family. And then she said that. And all of us were like, avoid eye contact at all costs.
What is this?
What is this one?
This is A Whole Lot of Love. Led Zeppelin.
Okay. Another one of our classic.
Another classic rock jam. That's why it's on here. What's next, Mike?
The other thing I wanted to talk about, although...
Is this your last one?
I think so, but you've dampened it. I was going to say best and worst beers.
Oh, okay.
Although you might just
I've already said that I can't do this, but I'm curious to know what I'm curious to know what you got. Oh, I didn't realize non-fest beers were
part
of the calculation. Okay.
I mean, Vetus is clearly the best, but yeah. At the fest, I think actually my favorite beers there, I already said my worst was Spaten, but my favorite was the Polliner, first day we had. And I don't know if that was because it was the first liters we had, or first 10 liters, or if it was just the best beer, but definitely my favorite there.
I just don't think I have like a good memory of it. I'd have to have them lined up in front of me and try them again to make a decision about that. I wasn't keeping like a running tally in my head, which...
Just a tally of how many liters.
Yeah.
Right? Which we actually
quantity over quality.
We did, yeah.
What were the totals again?
I think it was 59 for all five of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
We couldn't have just done one more. That's a lot of beer.
Yeah. That's impressive.
So bad for you. It's so bad for you to drink like 4 liters of beer in a day.
So can we figure out the gallons on that? It's 59 liters.
Some freedom units.
Let's do liters to gallons math for the listeners.
Well, it can be done quickly. Yeah. We figured out how many liters were in a gallon. Because I remember, I think I had 11 liters myself, and I think that was like close to or just about 3 gallons.
So almost 16 gallons for all of us.
Wow. That's a lot of beer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we did the math on a keg at 1.2. Like we said we would have finished off like a whole keg.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Easily. Mm-hmm. And that was again, that was just the liters of beer, not like
Yeah. No, nobody can ever know how many half liters we had.
Right.
Oh.
Kat, do you have any more highlights?
I think the last one I'd want to talk about was our last beer garden experience, which was at Ondex.
That would have been my last one too. So.
Yeah. I kind of wimped out there in terms of beer. I went with a Radler, which is just a shandy. But it was delicious and it was very light. But Ondex, it used to be a monastery, right?
I think it still is.
Yeah.
It's one of the few that still is a monastery because they all started off that way. Mm-hmm. But this one is, yeah.
And it's beautiful. There's just a lot of rolling hills and mountains and, it was just, the weather was nice too. We were outside and there was like a dog running around and it was just a very like low key, beautiful night, kind of nice, relaxing way to round out the trip.
Yeah. Absolutely agree.
It felt like, especially the dog running around. I remember seeing that and thinking this is just like a nice local brewery that you're hanging out at basically.
Right.
Like it had a, well, I'm not going to say it's an American feel. It was just a very relaxed feel. It was, mm-hmm. it was just compared to the rest of the trip. You
right.
know? Like the fests were intense, but this was like, you need to wind down and have a beer outdoors. This is where you do it.
Yeah.
And we, again, just had another great experience meeting another group where they overheard us talking about American politics. And they were European and had definitely had a lot of thoughts on it.
And two of them, I think, were from Canada, too. Or like had now emigrated to
Canada. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So we had like a nice Trump bashing fest. So that was kind of fun to do with strangers while we're all like kind of a little bit.
That happened to me, too. That same morning, the last day, Tim, Mike, and I went to the fest again for like one final fest morning. And our goal was to go to the Hack Ashore tent because that was the only tent we hadn't really been to yet. And like Tim mentioned, the top of it was painted like a sky. It looked really cool. It was the last Saturday of the fest. And we got there at like noon.
Yeah, and we thought it was insane when we went to Augustiner late at night. This was, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was wall to wall. You couldn't even walk around the perimeter of the tables at the tents. It was like, I literally thought I might die in a stampede of people if anything went wrong.
Yeah, it was crazy. We like walked the perimeter and then tried to go up and down the aisles, and you'd make it through a few people and you'd be met with a mini boss, because there were these all kinds of like vendors that had these big trays of like pretzels or gingerbread or like pins or hats or whatever, and they would just be standing in the middle of the aisle, and they have this big, like, it's basically like when you're at a baseball game and you have the peanuts and the hot dog guy, like those kind of trays. So they're just standing there and you can't get around them and they can't move around you, so you have to like shimmy in between benches to let them by. It was crazy. And we did a perimeter around the tent, went outside, and they immediately like closed the front door and they were at capacity. And we tried to go to a few other tents and that same thing happened. By 12:30 that Saturday, all the tents were at capacity. We ended up going back to the Spaten tent and sat in the outdoor beer garden area. And we shared the table with like a German family. And I was talking to one of the sons, and he was like, oh, so you guys are from America? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you like Trump? And I personally don't.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, don't agree.
Yeah, no offense
with
to
him.
Any of our Trump supporting yeah. listeners.
And he was like, oh, we think he's funny. And I was like, well, you don't live in America, so that's why he's funny to you. But they were super nice too. They were talking about how they've never lived anywhere else in Europe besides Munich and how they would want to like get out. And the guy was like, I wish I was from Australia, which seemed like a really weird choice to me. But I don't know. Australia is cool, but it's just like a, I don't know. But it was another cool, like just talking to a local family and seeing how they like felt about being at the fest and how it was kind of just, oh yeah, it's just a Saturday. Like, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was a little bit pleasantly surprised by, is part of me felt like it would be like Disneyland or like when we went to Venice, Italy, mm-hmm. that it's more tourists than locals. And I felt like it is such a part of Munich and Germany, like that the locals outnumber the tourists, despite yeah. the fact that there's a billion tourists there. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, made it more special because it feels more authentic and not just like you're showing up and experiencing this fake thing that's not a real Munich right. thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we met like a waitress, for example, who didn't really like Oktoberfest, that she didn't really like the festival. So I'm sure there are people there that hate it, like anyone anywhere hates certain local traditions and things about mm-hmm. where they live. But I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I just really felt like it felt much more authentic than part of me expected it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might even be that tourists outnumber locals, but the thing is the majority of the tourists are from Germany, right? Like mm-hmm. they're coming from Berlin,
sure.
they're coming from Frankfurt, they're coming all over the country to Munich, and maybe to people in Munich, they're tourists, but you know.
I guess that's true. If someone comes here from Florida, I'm like, fucking tourists.
Like, right. Yeah. yeah. But exactly. they're still American. It was cool too, the big fest day that we had. There was a section of the fest cornered off and it was like the traditional old fest.
Oh yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, and we got to have we didn't get to have Weiss beer because we weren't in the Weiss beer garden. But they were doing like lots of old traditional dances and stuff around us, and
that was cool.
Yeah,
they had like a troupe of dancers basically mm-hmm. going on the whole time.
Yeah, so that was a cool, like authentic.
I think that was kind of the cap to our all day fest.
Yeah,
day,
it
too,
was.
Which was nice.
I think we went right to rides after that.
Well, I think that's a pretty good summary of the trip and a nice rundown of our highlights. So let's close out with a drinking game. As I said, today's drinking game is called German Songs. I've taken lyrics from popular American songs and run them through Google Translate into German and then back into English. And you have to tell me what song it is. This actually, I was very impressed either by Google Translate or just how similar English and German are in terms of grammatical structure, because I had to try a lot of songs to get some stuff that would be challenging in any way. So often it came back verbatim what I put in the first time. But hopefully these ones will give you a little bit of a challenge. You guys ready? Mm-hmm. You got your buzzer within reach.
One buzzer.
Yep.
Some of these I think will be easy enough that you want to just be like right on that buzzer, because it'll be a race to the buzzer. Here's your first one. Well, that's a story about everything. My life was reversed, turned upside down. Cat.
It's the Fresh Prince theme song.
It is, yeah. And I would like to take a minute, just sit there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a city called Bel Air. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yep.
I know that I cannot do it anymore. Is not a lie. I want to see you through this door. Bye-bye. Cat.
Bye-bye-bye?
That's correct. Yeah. Mike, take a drink.
Yeah.
Also, can you do me a favor and put that on buzzer setting 4? The one it's on right now is insane. There you go.
There
you go. Hold on. Can we play number 1 once more? The insanity.
And then just for fun, here's what you
said. Just doing them all.
No, wrong.
Yeah, 4 works.
Not a phone call. All right. I went to the doctor, and guess what he told me? Guess what he told me? He said you should rather have fun, no matter what you do, but he is an idiot. Because nothing is comparable. Nothing is comparable to you. Cat.
Nothing compares to you?
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
Nothing is comparable. I love that Sinead O'Connor song, Nothing is Comparable. You should pay more attention to your back, because I damned your program, and then you got stuck. You were just lucky. Next in the series to...
Mike. Limp Bizkit prick stuff.
Correct. Yeah. Can I just finish this?
Yeah. Yeah, please do.
So you should pay more attention to your back, because I damned your program and then you got stuck. You were just lucky. Next in the series to be fucked. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. That's the other thing I loved about it, is like some of these songs would be so weird at first and eventually end in exactly the line you recognize from that song. All right, Kat, take a drink. Next one. And I am here to remember you. The mess you left when you left. It is not fair to deny me. I endure the cross you gave me. You should know. Mike.
I Will Survive.
No.
No. You knew it.
You ought to know.
Yeah, there you go. You should know.
Uncle Joey, you should know.
All right, I have 2 more for you guys. Love me. You know I love you. I am always honest. So please, love me. Woe love to do me. Cat.
Loveful?
No.
Oh.
Love me. You know I love you. I am always honest. So please, love me. Woe love to do me.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm going to make you both drink.
Yeah.
Love me do by the Beatles.
Love do me.
Whoa, love to do me. All right, last one. How many special people are changing? How many lives live strangely? Where were you when we got high? Walk slowly down the hall, fat cat.
Champagne Supernova?
Correct, yeah.
What gave it away?
One day you will find me caught under the landslide. Anyway, that's it. That's all. Those are all the questions I got. any final thoughts on the beers of Bavaria on Oktoberfest, Munich memories?
It's a great time. Do it if you can.
Yeah. I think the general vibe,
experience.
We all were like, we're not going to do this every year, but would absolutely go back like 10 years from now or 100%. Something like that.
Yeah. Would go back again. Yeah,
definitely.
If you are a big beer fan, you love German beers. If you love just partying or being part of an event where everybody is there for the same reason, and it's a really cool experience. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything to plug for yourselves before we sign off?
Just my podcast Conquest, with my co-host Chinmo. We talk about conventions and pop culture milestones and all that kind of fun fandom pop culture related stuff.
Where can people find you?
They can find us at Conquest Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and iTunes.
Anything for you, Mike?
I have nothing to plug, so I'll plug the podcast Conquest.
Oh, thanks.
I
also Beats One Radio, was that it?
Oh yeah, Eric Prydz, Beats One Radio, yep. Of course. Anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I'll plug the wasted-minds.com website and the game Drinking Buddies, a game one game reviewer called A Frat House Bad Idea and a Lawsuit Waiting to Happen. Drinking Buddies, the Drinking Man's Thinking Game, which you can buy at wasted-minds.com/store. Also, I'd just love to hear from listeners. What kinds of episodes do you want to hear us do? Do you have, maybe you've had your own Oktoberfest experiences. We want you to share those with us. You can find us at facebook.com/musictoyourbeers or on Twitter at wastedmindsllc. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Here's to you. Prost.
Prost.
Tonight.